On the line, I've got Tilly Turner. Good morning, Tilly.
Morning, Aaron.
So you are one of the candidates for the new Tauranga Takiwā Māori ward. Do you want to just introduce yourself first up?
Ai. Morena tānau e rongo ana ki te irirangi pāpāho o Whaingaroa. Tēnā koutou katoa ko Tilly Turner, taku ingo. Nō Waikato Tainui Ahau. Tēnā tātou katoa.
And you're actually on the way to a meeting at the moment, aren't you, in a car?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's very weird. Look, we're more than happy to talk to you where we can. I wanted to catch up with you yesterday, but I didn't get the chance when the Meet the Candidates were here. But How was that Meet the Candidates from your perspective? You might have been to a few. Do you think it was a good turnout?
I thought it was a great turnout. Congratulations to you, Raglan and Whaingaroa, for having such a great audience yesterday, and thank you for giving us your time. You're giving up your free Sunday time that you usually would do everything else, but it was a fabulous meeting. Lots of people turned up in your audience from your local community.
And I also should say from the other side, it was great to see every single candidate that we could vote for in our area had turned up as well. That was brilliant.
Yes, that was a great audience.
Yeah.
2 minutes is hard to get your spiel into, but we did it, you know.
Yeah, it's a challenge, all right. Well, we've got a bit more than 2 minutes today. Should we go with that? Was there something that you were a burning issue you wanted to talk about but couldn't do in the time available yesterday?
Oh, I've done a few meetings so far, but so I get the main points out that I've focused on three areas, as you would have heard, and that's whenua, which is land and environment, and then whānau, which is families, everything to do with families, and my third one was whaitawa, which is business and economic development for our Waikato community. So no, I think I've got enough for them to get a taste of, but yeah, I have got a passion in each of those three areas. It's something that I'm quite experienced in. It's things that I've done in those three areas that I have chosen to talk about.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, let's maybe start off then with just tell us a bit about yourself in terms of like your family life and your work life and the sort of things that you think are relevant to serving on council.
Cool. So I was born in Tuakau, Pukekohe, brought up in the Tuakau in the Port Waikato district for the majority of my life. Educated in Maramarua as a primary school, went through to Hauraki College, worked in a psychiatric hospital as a trained nurse, and then got married and ended up living 47 years in Ngarawahia. Honi and I have had 8 children. Wow. Got a big family, 7 girls, and my son is my baby. And now I'm at the stage now where when the Māori seats came up, I thought, I think I'd like to have a go at this. I'm a community-driven, done lots of things in my community, and especially the Māori community.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Ngarawahia is my marae noho, as I'll say. My marae whānau is Te Awamārahi in the Port Waikato. But living 47 years here in the Waikato and Ngarawahia, I've connected myself very easily because we're kingitanga people to Ngarawahia. I've been the secretary some years ago, been also and secretary to the Te Awamārahi Marae, got involved with the high schools, all the schools in Ngarawahia. Actually, I've had a connection with all of them in my background in Kapahaka and done all sorts of things. Worked for the tribe Waikato Tainui in the latter part of my employment, because I brought all my kids up at home. And then once they were all off to school, then I went back into the workforce again. So, yeah, that's my story, really. But I worked with Waikato Tainui in the environment space where I worked at their nursery and produced plants from propagating from seed source that was local, and all of that seed source that we grew into native nursery, and our native nursery was put back into the riparian plenty of, especially the Waikato awa. But we've had other little projects too outside of the awa projects for restoration work in the environment.
Hey, something I'm quite interested to ask you about. Housing comes up a lot when we have discussions about issues in the community all around this country. But you have an interesting living situation that I'd love to hear about.
We Honi and I got really sick, and we brought all our children up in a 3-bedroom home that had a dormitory style one room that was kind of huge, that it was like dormitory style. And so all our kids were brought up in this three-bedroom place in Ngarawahia and into their adulthood. And then we got sick in 2010, 2012. Honu with his heart problems and myself with cancer. And so we pulled all of our kids together, who by that time had kind of moved all over the place, a couple in Australia. And so we pulled them back and actually sat them down and said, look, one of you need to take the house on. We don't, not sure how long our life is going to carry on from here, but whichever one of you decide, and we wanted them to āmanga, whichever one of you decide must leave the front door open with the way things are going socially. So they sat down, and my eldest daughter was living in Gisborne, and of course then the responsibility for the coordinator for that became my second daughter, who was actually doing her degree in social services at the time in with the Wānanga in Auckland. She lived in Pukekohe with her husband's family, and that's what she was going through. So she used some of her theorems as part of her study to get us through the space of just talking about what did they want. We didn't have, Honi and I didn't have too much to do with the discussions. We sat it in support. But what they came up with was that out of all of the eight, only the two youngest had homes. And so the other six, their income that they spent on rentals came to just under $1,000 a week. And that was in 2014, I think, when these discussions started.
Yeah.
So she said, well, look, this is what's going out of our hands. How can we change that picture so we bring it back? So long story short, they decided that they wanted to have a big house, an intergenerational house, where they could come back, whoever was renting could come back home, live, save up, buy their own home for their children, and then move back in retirement. So it's really a retirement kind of village for my our children.
Right.
And, yeah, so we ended up buying out of it all. We did the plan. Everybody had input into it. Of course, in one of her theorems that she used, there was the, I can't remember what the theory was, was about norming, storming, performing, transforming. One of those milestone things that happen amongst the family where you actually get to the point of transformation.
Yeah.
And that's where we got to. So the nine-bedroom home became our goal. We're actually living in that. We opened that up. We started the build in 2017. And we moved into it 2018. This is now where we are right now. And we have five of my adult children own homes. But the most amazing thing to me is that we've got two grandchildren who actually bought homes as well. So that transformational and intergenerational living works. And so that's what I've been talking about. I've used that as an example that we have to shift our paradigms in the way we think about housing.
Yeah.
We used to do that pre-colonial times, you know, but then the individual home became the thing in our colonial past, in our history within this recent time. And so, you know, a lot of Māori families have lost that gap of intergenerational living. So we think that that's the way we actually are proof, not just because of the home ownership, but everything else that we're doing in our intergenerational nine-bedroom home is working. And absolutely during COVID times, we didn't suffer the isolation that some of my family did. You know, just being isolated through COVID was quite a bad time for lots of families we got to hear about afterwards.
Yeah.
But what we did in that time was we knitted the families that were living outside of the Papakāinga space, and when they got sick, we always had a post-up time where everybody came online and we spoke during the time of COVID when people were down. How are you? What's going on? A really great link. It actually helped that space hugely. Speaking from experience, this is the way for us for the future.
Yeah, it does sound good, and I've got to admit, I'm envious. My girls are at the point where they're sort of leaving home age. And I love the idea, and multiple generations as well. As a grandparent, I imagine you've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we've got four generations living at the house full time. My eldest daughter's got her our mokopuna tuarua. She's the eldest of all the mokopuna tuarua, and she lives with us as well. So that's part of that intergenerational living. It's great.
It's actually, it's almost a relief to hear someone who has some kind of solution around the housing, because everyone's talking about it, and it's kind of being created by decisions that are probably made at central government level, but here we are at local body election. Yeah. Everyone wants to know what the candidates are going to do about the housing crisis.
And developers aren't into that space, are they, Aaron? You know, developers is where it happens.
Hmm.
You know, and I think that's why I wanted to, that's why this is part of my big, you know, have they thought about that intergenerational living? You know, do they, because it's usually four, I've known that they've got a family who've got a five-bedroom house, but it wasn't built as an intergenerational space. It was built for the purposes of their family. But we have to start to talk this field about intergenerational living.
Yeah, and I think it's best to talk about it first rather than kind of after it starts happening, because I think it's just going to happen for some families anyway. I think they're going to find they haven't got much choice.
That's right.
Yeah,
but it's a good way of living. It's great. We share everything. All our utilities are paid collectively. You know, everything. We have a little saving that helps us with the mortgage, and we're not rushing to pay that off in any big hurry. So it's less pressure. So that anybody who wants to buy their own home can go off, and it still can be afforded by those living in the house to do the mortgage on a smaller scale.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's brilliant. Hey, on other issues, we've got this, or two new Māori seats for the Waikato district. How much of a difference do you think that's going to make for Māori people and for the council itself?
I think it's going to be great. I'm really confident in this space, because I think that's one of the reasons I do hear the voices of the rangatahi, which is absolutely thrilling for me. I didn't realise the potential that we have in this rangatahi leadership group. But I think my space in this time is really to settle that space for our councillors to be able to educate why we think the way we think, you know?
Yeah.
How it's legacy stuff. Legacy decisions are the things to make, because it's long term. You can't make short decisions and just hope that it's going to, what's going to happen down the line? What's going to happen in your mokpuna zone? Have they got a burden or have they got an asset? And so that's one of the reasons that I think maybe this first term, early in this piece, is something for somebody a little bit older with experience. And I know I hear the voice of our rangatahi saying they don't believe that they got the experience. And I'm telling you, I'm absolutely enthused. I'm sure that they'll step up to the challenge. This new rangatahi group of young Shane, who's absolutely, I love her. I absolutely love this young lady. And I know if she does get in, I'm 100% behind her, and if she doesn't get in, I'm going to support her too, so that she will get in our future. So I think the seats are good. I think that Māori voice, we're going to be forced to actually stand up and say what it is we want. We haven't had much participation at that level to come and hear us talk. We don't have very many Māori sitting in that space, but I'm confident we're going to get there eventually. I mean, we've had lots of leadership over the years, you know, and we've had our own times where we've come up against the hardest stuff, which is really right now. Princess Te Puia went through a time when that was absolutely the same thing that we're experiencing with homelessness right now. So I know that the answers are there. It's in our background. We've got the experience, and I think that's what we bring to the table.
You talked about, like, kind of setting the scene for the new council and kind of legacy things. Are there any specific things that you want to see happen really quickly, or more quickly?
I think, you know, it's about how we use the land, the whenua, because we're actually building lots and lots of houses really quickly. And I wonder whether, and I actually was enthused because I saw in the news this morning that they're talking about leaving arable land for food supply.
Mm.
Absolutely important, because it seems like this big rush to get homes built everywhere, anywhere. And I understand what that means, but I think if you were to do it a little bit more purposely, we'd get a few of these intergenerational homes and intersect them into communities. I think that will be a good thing. But using land just for the purpose of building so much homes, and then you see them standing empty for ages because people can't afford to buy them. That's probably one of the concerns that I have immediately.
There are questions being asked by people how many homes are empty, also because they're an investment and there's not even been tenanted, and no one really knows the answer to that question, but they suspect there's quite a few.
Yes, I'm of the same opinion. I see quite a few brand new homes, lots of them come up very quickly and then they stand empty. So we're building not for purpose, we're building for, like you say, probably for investment, which is sometimes may not be a good thing.
Yeah, well, the investment usually works for the investor, but not necessarily everyone else.
Yes, that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Very little money around.
Yeah.
So where does that investment come from? It probably ends up coming from offshore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't got any answers. I'm not that... Yeah, I know what it took for us to build what we built.
Yeah.
But I do know that we need homes. We do need homes.
Yeah. What other issues in your community are you picking up that need addressing urgently? We always talk about housing, but there's probably others.
In my community is so wide, you know, Aaron. I mean, I've got 6 wards that I have to be accountable in.
Yeah.
And really, for me, I do know what we need in Ngarawahi. We're a low decile area. Lots of innovative things in our community. It's not that it's a low decile, but it's not that we aren't trying and doing stuff in Ngarawahi. The things we're doing in Ngarawahi, I think, are quite innovative. But what for the wider community, I need to learn that space. And that's why if I do get in, that's my first thing, is to build relationships with those nominated candidates and to understand what each of their communities are going through with the Māori in the Māori space.
And you would,
honestly, I don't really know it. It probably will be very similar to the stuff that's going in Ngarawahi. You know, Māori generally are feeling the same effects of low incomes, poverty, you know, homelessness in a lot of cases. Yeah, so I'm guessing that that's going to be the space that it's going to be effective for me to work in.
So how many, you would be a member of our community board out here, you'd come to our community board meetings. Do you know how many other community boards and council committees you'd be part of as well?
All 6. I think there might be, I'm not sure, but I think in the western districts there might be quite a few, so Tuaka has one, I do know. I'm not sure whether, just how many we have, we've got one in Ngarawahi, we've got a Taupiri community board.
Yeah.
I hear yesterday with the Whangaroa one. And I'm sure Tamahere and, you know, my other constituent spaces too will have community boards as well. And I'm interested to get involved with all. But I'm mindful that it's a space that we have to go in and listen to what the community wants and not overtake with agendas that we take to those meetings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just to go in and listen, what is this community talking about? What are the issues on their table? And how can I best serve that? So it's a huge area for me, and I'm, you know, about the wards that I don't have, that I don't live in.
I'm kind of hoping there's some petrol vouchers for you guys, because it feels like you might have to do a lot of driving.
I think that goes across the board with everybody in this space at the moment.
Yeah. Although, for the 2 new Māori wards, I think there's, you know, you're covering half the district.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm not sure how we're going to address that in the future. We're sharing, my husband and I are sharing a car, and he's off to work, and he's just dropped me off at work.
Right. Do you need to go in to your work now?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Any more talk? Yep.
Okay. So I did want to ask a question. Like, it's everyone's saying it's great that we've got these 2 new Māori wards, and it just kind of happened. Like, it happened really quickly, and there didn't seem to be a lot of opposition, like there had been in the past. But we operate. You know, we have a founding document which talks about for this nation, which talks about a partnership, which kind of implies 50-50. So, what do you see down the road? Further down the road, do you see it staying at 2 seats? Would you like to see full co-governance? What do you think for the long term?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think it'll be judged on how successful everybody works in this space.
Yeah.
So communities, I mean, the councils will figure how much value they get out of us in the first tranche. And if that happens to be really good, then I'm expecting that they will just automatically assign more people in. But it's going to be a year. I think there's going to be some challenges. I'm not that naive to think there won't be. But the challenges and how we get around. and how we service all the six communities, you know, whether we do that well or not.
Yeah.
And how, you know, physically, like you say, petrol vouchers, vehicles, how we actually navigate that space so that we do it, give it its best, you know, for the people of these communities. As we heard yesterday, it's people, 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 but yeah, how we do that, how we are able as Māori delegates or representatives to serve those whole six wards, is going to be quite a challenge. And I'd be the first to ask for that growth if I think it's too hard. But, you know, we'll see how we go.
Do you think?
And I know what you're talking about, but we're stepping into, I think it's good to step into something slowly, figure out how the relationships go, and then add to, because it's of value. Add to only because it's of value. It needs to happen.
And do you think you would be trying to visit as many marae as possible?
I do that ordinarily. Like, we have Pokai, which is the kingitanga space, that annually we do an annual visit to most Pokai. So I'm accessible to marae.
Yeah.
But there's still a big part of our Māori community that we don't get to talk to on a regular basis, which I'm going to, Marae is great because it's the figure of how to get there. We actually have a platform where we could get there, and I don't think it'd be hard to open that space up at all for us all.
Yeah, yeah. How much excitement has there been in the Māori community with these two new seats popping up? And in actual fact, I did ask around. Some people are not aware of it because not everyone's aware of local government issues, so they didn't even know this had happened. But what are you picking up? Like, are people pretty excited about this?
I'm kind of like everybody else, because the show of face at our Meet the Candidates is a good reflection of just how much excitement there is, and I haven't seen many of my Māori constituents turn up to the different speaking engagements that we do have.
Yeah.
We did have one in Kirikiriroa at the WinTech, but that was solely for all the Māori delegates. So that was enthusiastic because we had a lot few more Māori people turn up, okay. All educated, all know what's going on, and a lot of rangatahi turned up to that one.
Yeah.
So it might be a new focus. That's what I was talking about. This rangatahi voice is strong, and I'm really enthused with that space, that we're going to fill that gap for the future really, really quickly, really well, you know. Very confident young people coming forward. Yeah. So as for where does that sit right now, I don't know that we've got full support. I'm having a meeting with my own tribal communications, hopefully sometime this week, to ask about that support. Thanks to Kawena and Kirsty with their little social enterprise that they run.
Tautukura.
Yep. It's the fabulous. It's fabulous because I learned so much from that space, so much that I know it wouldn't have happened any other way because it's not that commitment. So maybe that's the space that I need to start to pick up with as well, is to figure out how do we get that buy-in, I guess, from even our tribal space. I know they offer the Tainui Live as one of the platforms, but I think we need maybe even more.
Yeah, well, for this interview is not just going out on the radio. We're going to put the recording online, the podcast online, and make a transcript, and then we're going to share it on there's a Raglan Community Facebook page.
Cool.
And So there's a lot of people on that, so we hope to get out to the rest of the community that way, because it's a lot harder these days too. There's so many people are all on different platforms and doing different things, so there's more of a challenge. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, You're so right.
Hey, folks. Sorry,
and people
go
are
ahead.
Busy, eh?
People are busy. Yeah, we're all busy.
That's why I commented about how many people turned up to your Raglan meeting. It was absolutely brilliant.
Mm, mm.
You know, so what you guys are doing, and it's funny because it's a reflection of your community, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
How many people turn up and are interested and want to know. You know, that's the biggest thing. And something that you've done in Raglan has been great. Look, you can see it. You can feel it.
Yeah, yeah. It started a long time ago, I think.
Yes. I'm expecting that, that would have to be the case.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Tilly, I think we're just about out of time and you've probably got to get to work. So I just want to let people know we've been talking to Tilly Turner, who is a candidate for the Tairunga Takiwā Māori Ward, the new Southern Māori Ward in our district. And do you have any last thing you want to say, maybe why people should vote for you?
I'm a committed person who would like to do for community. People are my passion, you know. My ancestors have done a lot of work in the space of connectivity with people in different communities throughout our entire history. So I know that it's inbred part of, you know, it just comes natural with where I'm sitting. And just vote, please, everybody. Mm. If you're on the Māori roll, just vote wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Vote for your Māori candidates. It's the very first time I've given this opportunity, and I want to make the best of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Kia ora.
All right, Tilly, thank you heaps for your time this morning, and I did enjoy the discussion about the housing discussion with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for getting me on to the radio station as well.
Oh, anytime.
I appreciate this.